Hi, everyone.
Okay, just give me a second. I need a drink. Okay. All right.
This is probably not going to come out
in the way that I'm hoping it to. There's so much information. I'm also being told that there's going to be more happening in the next 9 days, so I shouldn't really give a conclusion just yet. Okay, so, but I am going to talk about really my take, so my investigation into what's currently taking place here in Canada. Well, one aspect of what's taking place here in Canada. Okay, so I told you guys that I wanted to talk about Linton, BC, what's going on in BC, as well as the children and how this all ties into the agenda that's, you know, playing out very fast right now. So if I'm stumbling and I don't make sense, please, my intention with this video is for you to take all this information yourself, look into it, and create your own little, you know, investigative links, okay? So if what I say doesn't add up to you right away, I just want you to go and look into the stuff I'm talking about so that you can kind of create your own web and weave it together. Because like I said, I have so much going through my head right now with what is going on that it is difficult to verbalize it in a way that it's going to make sense to the people I'm speaking to, okay? So first, I want to start with the residential schools. Now, I do have to say, before I start here, that what I'm talking about, my opinion, and the way that I'm seeing things, it does not reflect in any way my heart and acceptance around what is going on, and my feelings towards the Indigenous and the different things that are taking place. I want people to understand that this is not a negative point of view, and I'm not here to offend or upset anyone by the things that may come out. This is simply speculation right now. This is me just seeing and forming, you know, a belief around it, okay? So I just want to say that because I'm not saying anything to upset anyone. I know that when I start to talk about the residential schools, this is going to be an emotional point, and I understand that, okay? It's also going to be quite confusing for a lot of people as well, on both sides. So, right away when I saw that the graves had been found, it was, you know, of course the initial was, okay, the children are being exposed. And I think that for a lot of us that have been kind of following what's been going on this whole entire time, it seemed, and I think I even spoke to that, saying that this was kind of like a catalyst for all of the other children's stuff to start to come out. Now, I actually have a bit of a different view on it now, now that I've been able to kind of look into everything and kind of see what is going on. Firstly, I want to point out the fact that a lot of myself and other people have been saying that 40,000 children per year in Canada go missing, and this is, you know, all tied in with that and yada, yada, yada. If you actually look at police reports and you break them down and you look at the data, I think it ends up being less than 100 kids a year that actually go missing in Canada and remain missing. I know, that's a big one. So I'm just giving little pieces of information, okay? Because we all really need to have clarity on what is really going on here, okay? Now that has nothing to do with the trafficking and everything else that goes on in Canada because, you know, there well, and the rest of the world. But as far as missing children goes, we have less than 100 a year when you actually break it down to like the ones that are found, the ones that are runaways, etc. Okay, so I'm throwing that in there because a lot of us have tied this all in, and I don't think this is tied in. Okay, so the residential schools, the mass graves, as we could say. After I kind of, you know, looked into the data about missing children, I came to realize, hey, wait a minute, this is again for division, right? This is for division. This is going to create more division. What does it create division with? It creates division with Aboriginal or Indigenous and others. It created division with the church. That is the number one, actually. It created division with the church. We can see that Justin Trudeau is not, supporting the fact that people are burning down Christian churches.
Okay? No one is doing anything about it. He's not calling it a hate crime. There's nothing coming out of it. And actually, I want to point out that even the Civil Liberties Association, quote, burn it all down. Then we have the chair of the Newfoundland Canadian Bar Association branch also said, burn it all down. We also had a St. John radio host say, burn the churches down. And Trudeau's top advisor and best friend, Gerald Butts, which has been on the radar, he also said, it's not cool, but it's understandable.
Okay, so those types of things we really need to like, whoa, okay, hold on. Like, this is a hate crime, regardless of the motivation. You know, you can't just burn churches down, because not everybody within the church is responsible for what happened, you know, to the children at the residential schools, etc., right? And it's, you know, like I said, the irony in that as well, that Justin Trudeau's father, Pierre Trudeau, in 1969 actually took over the schools. And this is disgusting to watch this happen in this way. So I wanted to point that out, that, you know, it has been said, you know, by high up people in Canada multiple times that it's okay to burn down churches.
Okay, that right there should have put up a flag to everyone. All right.
You know, when we have a terrorist attack, do we, you know, shame all Muslims? Or, you know, we have to look at that, right? You know, if there were a terrorist attack, you know, do you think that, like, overseas, do you think that, you know, in the Middle East, everyone here would be burning down mosques and it would be okay? Like, these are the types of things that people really need to look at and go, hey, wait a minute. Why is this okay that we're burning down, you know, Christian churches? And we have seen this incentive happening. I mean, look at the States when all the riots were going on, and the way that they made Donald Trump, you know, seem awful that day because he wanted to stand in front of the church and he wanted to open up churches. And everything in that regard is wiping out Christianity, is what they're doing. They are demonizing Christianity in every possible way. Now, I'm not a Christian. I mean, I believe in a lot of the principles. However, I don't go to church. I'm not a Christian. I'm not devoted. However, this is wrong. It's wrong to do this to any religious organization and to, you know, hold them all accountable for something that only a small percentage may have been responsible for. And we have to look at the top down with that, right? Like, the Vatican has been, you know, advising all of this, and so did the Canadian government, right?
So, right there, that was a massive, massive red flag for me.
And it continues, right? The churches are still being burned down. There's still, like, you know, hate against Christians because of the graves being found with the Indigenous children at the residential schools.
So,
there was a report put out by TNC News, and I was reading it, and I wanted to make a point of many of their points, okay? Because this is the kind of stuff that has been going through my mind, but I will refer to that news article because it is very in-depth and it's very thorough. And so here's a few things. So when it comes to the residential schools and these mass graves, that is a key word, mass graves, okay?
We don't know that they are mass graves,
okay? We don't know anything about that. I'm going to explain here, okay? First of all,
it's all unverified reports. They said that there was ground penetrating radars, but it's not like an x-ray, right?
So they can't see it. They can't see any images of anything. What these radars, these ground penetrating radars do under, you know, in my own research, is that they will show where the ground has been kind of dug up, right? So, and it sometimes can show like coffins, all right? So, but there is nothing proven, right? There is no court or otherwise, any sort of documentation, any sort of court hearing of any kind, any sort of legal matters whatsoever, released to date, even though they said that they were going to be releasing them in June.
Where is it? There's nothing that shows what they found. It's all unverified reports. All of it. And we don't know as well who carried out the research. Who's actually looking into this? Who's doing this?
There has been no indication of that. None.
Is that not a little odd? Anyway, the second thing that was noted was what was discovered, right?
They say that they could, that it could be, okay, this is the point I wanted to make. So in all of the news articles, all the medias, now, you always have to look at mainstream media and look at the words that they're using. So these are the various slogans that were used when we could say what was discovered. It was, they could say, they could be buried, were discovered, confirmed presence of, believed to contain. See how there's nothing that's certain? Like, all of the different newscasts all use different wording, saying it could be believed, it could be, it may be, it is. Nothing is actually concrete. None. Not one. Why? Because there's no verified report. There's nothing to actually show what it was that was found or who found it. Nothing. And, you know, the fact that they claim these to be children, regardless, right now, is speculation. It's speculation. So this is really interesting with the upheave that's going on in Canada and how we just canceled Canada Day when there's actually no verification if it's even children to begin with. This is interesting. So on to the next point. Whose graves are they? Okay, so this is the next point. The Cowessess and Lower Kootenai bands said, and they claimed, that the graves are believed to be in community cemeteries belonging to the First Nations. So we have the Cowessess and the Lower Kootenai bands claiming that these were community cemeteries belonging to the First Nations. Okay. They also quote, and I say, that these bands said that they were unmarked graves, not mass graves, unmarked graves. Okay? These words are very important right now. Very important. So that moves on to the next point. They're not mass graves. Well, we don't know, but they're not mass graves for this discussion. The media called them this, and it's not the words of the original report from the Kamloops Indian Band. All three chiefs have said that these are not mass graves. So why is the media reporting it as such? Why is Justin Trudeau saying it is? So why? So mass graves are what make a genocide, right? They are what make a genocide. And Trudeau even does this, right? He's even been saying it. Like, you know, this is a genocide. This was, you know, this is a horrible time in Canada's history. And, you know, these mass graves. So this was used to create this massive uprise and division among the people, believing that the assimilation of Indigenous into these residential schools created a genocide. Look at that. Unbelievable. And I'm not condoning the assimilation. That's not my point, and I meant that at the very beginning. I am just pointing out the things that they're using for leverage to create this scenario that's not actually what is happening by the facts, okay? So the facts are showing that maybe that might not be true. Maybe. Now, what about the causes of death? We don't know, because again, there are no verified report. We don't know who is in those graves. We don't know what is in those graves. We don't know what caused those deaths, do we? No. And according to, this is good. According to the Truth and Reconciliation Committee report that I've spoke to and will again here, in 2015 that was initially submitted, the number one cause of death from 1867 to the year 2000 was tuberculosis. They even put this in the Truth and Reconciliation report in 2015, the Indigenous did. That in that area, in that time period, from 1867 to the year 2000, that the number one cause of death was tuberculosis. Now, when that happened, they left the dead there where they died, in those specific communities, because they didn't want to transport them. Why? because they didn't want to take the infected and put them into places where people weren't infected. Again, speculation, but hey, starting to put all the facts together here. Now, the tuberculosis, yes, this, you know, has been perpetuated and you know, to an extent because of poor health, malnutrition, and neglect. Of course, yes. Again, I'm not condoning these things, but we have to look at the actual facts. And, you know, they create scenarios like this because people don't want to look at those facts because then they feel bad for bringing it up, right? Because then you feel guilty and you feel like you're not, you know, looking at the actual issue. Well, we have to be very precise when we're looking at these issues, especially when we have a PSYOP going on right now, okay? So we don't know. Could it be genocide? Could it be murder? Could it be, you know, TB, and they just left all the bodies there because they didn't want to transport them back to the communities to spread it even farther? It's kind of looking like it. And until I see anything coming out of actual verified reports, I'm not believing it. I'm not believing it. Now, why is that tied into my conversation here today? So I made all of those points to show you that it appears that the whole residential school and children genocide was actually possibly a lie. Why would they do that? Well, they took away patriotism. They have everybody going against Christianity now. Well, not everybody, but you know, we're taking down statues of Queen Victoria. I mean, all sorts of stuff is happening. It's not just one thing, right? There's multiple things happening. It also distracted everyone from what else is happening, didn't it? Yes, because the whole world is talking about the children genocide of the indigenous people here in Canada. Well, guess what else is going on while that's happening? So, the children were found going into like the beginning of June. And then on June 15th, we had, under the radar, without any discussion really about it at all, we had Bill C-15 passed. If you don't know what that is, it is a UN charter between the UN and Indigenous of Canada, okay? If you have not seen this, I want you to specifically look at sections 26, 46, 26, 28, and 46. Look at those three and look at what's actually taking place here right now. And you really need to know that in order to understand what else I'm going to be talking about here, okay? So, they introduced this UN charter, okay? Which, in a nutshell, gives all Indigenous in Canada rights to all of the land and resources working with the UN under UNDRIP. So it's UNDRIP, okay? So look into this and how this comes into this Bill C-15. So basically, what it does is it gives the Indigenous rights to land and infrastructure under a UN charter. Okay. In a nutshell, because there's a lot to it. So this happens. Then all of a sudden, we have all these fires breaking out in BC. Okay. You know, we have fires that break out in BC every year, which are now starting to be proven to be what they actually are, which is, you know, offsetting costs, right? However, they have made it seem like these fires this year were all caused by weather when we had that huge heat wave in BC and all of these people died, right? Okay, interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. So at the same time that all of this is happening, we have this fire breakout in Linton, BC and surrounding areas, okay? Now, for those of you that don't know, Linton, BC is basically around the Nicola Valley, which is old Crown logging land, okay? There are two rail systems that converge here. And it's like, it's a transportation hub. It's a huge economy driver here, okay, in Canada. All right, this area is actually where the two rail systems come through to transport goods around the country. Right. Now, it only took, and this is where things are going to get really like, well, and I'm talking a lot, I know. It only took 22 minutes to burn down that entire village. Isn't that something? It only took 22 minutes to burn down that entire village. And this is even more interesting. They didn't send out local fire departments. They didn't call in people from abroad until almost 5 days after. Why? Does that seem normal? Doesn't to me. It doesn't to me. Now, I'm going to bring in something here. So these two rail systems are actually CN Rail, right? They're the CN Rail systems. Now, this is where things start to get wild. Did you know that Bill Gates is the largest stakeholder in CN Rails, owning over 16%? Did you know that? I didn't know that until now. Did you also know that Buffett owns one of the largest freight railroads in North America? Mm-hmm. Interesting how these two people seem to come into every single thing that's going on, isn't it? And no, it's not just because they're elites. So anyway, when this fire broke out, they stopped the trains, which are, you know, all the trays, the oil, the transport. And this is how a country becomes occupied. This is exactly how this happens, okay? They stopped all of the freight from going in that area. They evacuated the entire town. Everyone has been displaced that lives there. Interestingly, the bands are fine. The indigenous seem to be fine, and they seem to be taking care of themselves in this regard. But yet, all of the non-indigenous have all had to move out. Half of them are homeless. They have nowhere to go. And they're being told that they're not even going to be allowed back into Linton until October at the earliest. Now, all of this is not making sense to me. It's not making sense to me. And you know, they allowed the CN railway people to go in and look at the burned bridge that they burned down to stop the production going through. They let them go in before they let people who actually live there and have homes there and wanted to go in and see their homes and whatever else. They wouldn't let them in. But they let in the officials to go, you know, make sure that they could still transport goods and whatever else. Very interesting. This is a staged environmental situation. This is exactly what this is. This whole thing. And if you don't know what HAARP and geoengineering and all this stuff is, it is really time to start to look into that. This was created to create the situation that's coming next. And everything that I've talked about up to this point is all intertwined in the way that this is playing out, okay? I know it's a lot to like keep up with, and that's the whole point too, right? They want you looking here and looking there and looking there and looking everywhere so that you're like, holy fuck, what is even happening right now? To the point that you just give up, right? So I'm sorry if it seems like a lot, but this is all intertwined together, okay? So now the people in Linton are kind of, you know, completely displaced. There's a lot of people trying to raise money to try to help them. And it's said that every year, you know, they start these fires every year to offset costs with different things, which makes sense. You know, everything's political. Everything's like, follow the money, right? Who has the money? Interestingly enough, Bill Gates has quite a share in that exact situation that just took place. So this is something that I really need to bring to attention, because Bill Gates is also the person who is buying up all the land, farming land, and China. So China and Gates are buying up all the farmland everywhere and trying to create their own food industry. And this is what they're doing. So they're going to basically take away all food supply from different farmers and organic farmers, and they're creating everything GMO under their own watch. Like, this is what they're doing. They're taking over the food supply. And now they're taking over like distribution of the food supply with CN Rail and the, staged environmental problems, just to, you know, kind of increase that situation for themselves. I'm going to talk to in another video about the food supply chain and the food shortages and what is going on with Bill Gates and the world and everything that's taking place. That will be a different video. But for right now, I just want to talk about what's going on in Canada, and especially in BC with the Linton fires and everything that's going on there. These fires were made to look like they were arson. And it's actually now, they're starting to look at and say and investigate and say that it was arson. So, I mean, that kind of proves that this was intentional, right? That this whole situation was completely intentional. What else do we have to talk about? Okay, all right, so I'm going to leave that there. There's so much I want to talk about, but like I said, I really think that there's going to be something in the next 9 days. I was told 9 days, so I think there's going to be something in the next 9 days that's going to add to this, and I think I'm just going to leave it for right now because I wanted to just kind of put all this info inside your head, okay? So, next, what's next? Next we have Trudeau was actually in Surrey, BC. He didn't declare where he was going to be until like the day before, but he was in Surrey, BC, giving talks on the new metro. Sorry, guys. I think I'm going to have to go here. I do think that there's somebody coming. But I'm going to quickly just throw this in there. Okay, so I want you to all look into the meeting in Surrey with Justin Trudeau the other day with TransLink. It's SkyTrain. I want you to look into this and tie into the fact that $1.3 billion is now being put in Langley, which is also along that Fraser River, which goes up to, what do you know, Linton, BC. It's that same railway along the Fraser River that they're now investing in for SkyTrain, which is going to be pushing everyone into the Vancouver area in order to be able to commute back and forth to work. Specifically, actually, you know what? I'm going to leave you guys all there, and I'm going to come back here in a little bit, okay? I love you, but that's some food for thought for right now and start putting this all together, and then I'm going to come back and talk about what Minister Catherine McKenna and Justin Trudeau said in Surrey, BC, 4 days ago. Okay, I love you.